Well, hey, good morning, you guys. And happy Sunday once again. We are here. You're here. I'm here. And we are going to dive back in a little bit. Kirk teased you a little bit last Sunday, and he said that was his last sermon on generosity. It was his last sermon on generosity. His, okay? But then he left room for me to have a go at it once again. And so I want to talk about this idea of hold on loosely and finding the harmony between stewardship and generosity, because those two components go hand in hand. Now, if you're disappointed because the following slide is not going to be the album cover for 38 Special, who sang the song Hold On Loosely, okay, I know. I'll be honest, when the thought for this sermon popped into my mind on Friday morning, I YouTubed 38 Special and I watched the song Hold On Loosely, so I do apologize. But anyway, that's the idea of hold on loosely, or where this is going is kind of to address what I call the elephant in the room. Have you ever been in a conversation where you talk about everything except for the thing that you're really supposed to be talking about? You just kind of circle around it. Because I know that some of you are sitting here as we've been talking about this generosity thing, like, come on, Kirk. Come on, Stephen. You can't just talk about generosity, can you? Like, come on. Like, you can't just go around being generous all the time. Like, you don't expect that from us. No, but God does. Okay? And so what the reality is, I want to address that idea, though, because your concerns are valid, because most like you've been sitting here going with this thought in your mind, when's he going to talk about stewardship? Okay? And I want to settle on this for a little bit because there's a truth that I don't know if you're aware of it, and I didn't figure this out till later on in life, but we have this in our lives. We like sermons, praise God, that pertain to our strengths. And so if my weakness is generosity, hurry up, preacher boy, get on to something called stewardship, because I'm good at stewardship. Or if you're really bad at stewardship, oh, these sermons on stewardship might be a little cringy for you as well, because we like to hear sermons that pertain to our strengths. We will give our loudest and most exuberant amens to those sermons because they're padding our stats. But then we will sit quietly when he starts talking about the things that I really struggle with in life, okay? And you're not alone in that thought because this idea of resisting sermons or lessons that reveal our weaknesses, or maybe you've done this where you're listening to these sermons on generosity, but you know your penny pincher friend or your penny pincher spouse, and you're like, yeah, I'm listening to this sermon for him or her, right? Okay, where we listen to a sermon on someone else's behalf. That's been around for the history of humanity, that concept. That concept of deflection is as old as the Garden of Eden, okay? And so we got to break that cycle, though. But Jesus had the same thing, right? Whenever Jesus would give a parable, Pharisees would be like, ha! He's talking about the people, right? That one's about the people. And then the people are like, I think he's talking about the Pharisees on this one. Yeah. He's definitely talking about the Pharisees. And then Peter's over in the background going, he's talking about the crowd. And you know what Jesus is doing? Yes. Are you still so dull? Which in Aramaic translates to, I'm talking about all you all. Okay? That is what's going on. Anytime you are hearing a sermon that makes you cringe, you are hearing something you need to hear. Just as much as a sermon that makes you want to shout and clap, okay? And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to be cringed today, all right? Because here's the deal. When Jesus is giving all these parables, we like to think that we get to decide who we are in the parable. In the moment, when the parable is being delivered. But what we forget is in any moment, we're the lost son, and any moment, we're his crabby brother who's still back at home, okay? And it's at some point we will be every role in a parable, and it's at some point in our life where we are going to get rubbed the wrong way in any sort of sermon, all right? And so my goal today is to make all of you equally upset with me, okay? Because if you're good at stewardship and you've been upset with Kirk about generosity, but now I'm preaching a sermon on stewardship and now you're suddenly getting a little happy, hold on, I'm still going to make you mad today. But if you've been super excited about Kirk's messages about generosity and you hear that it's going to be another week of generosity, I sure hope he gets it this time. Guess what? I'm going to tick you off today too, all right? Because there are two elephants in the room. One is called reckless generosity, and the other is called ruthless stewardship. And if you're sitting here thinking one of those sounds better than the other, we have a problem, folks. We have a problem, and that problem is evident that God wants to do a deeper work in you today in this principle. So, all right. So which is better, right? Which way do you lean? Okay? Are you leaning more towards generosity in your life, or are you leaning more towards stewardship in your life? Okay? And I want to kind of pick at that for a little bit, all right? So I want you to just think for a quick second before I start making you mad, which way do you lean? Which way do you lean? And I want to first start talking about what I like to call ruthless stewardship. Ruthless stewardship, okay? All right, so first thing I want to start with is a definition for what is ruthlessness. Ruthlessness is the quality of lacking pity or compassion for somebody other than yourself, right? For anybody else. If you are struggling with pity or compassion for others, that is the definition for ruthlessness. It's not a complete lack, okay? You can be ruthless with just a little lack of pity, okay? We'd love to think that there's a sliding scale, right? There's a sliding scale of obedience for me, okay? I lack just a little pity. You still lack pity. I lack just a little compassion. You still lack compassion, right? Right? There's no sliding scale here, okay? You're either one or you're the other, okay? And that's what Jesus always was trying to expose in his parables, okay? You like to think who you are right now. You like to think you get to pick your role in this story, but the reality is you're all in this story. And this story pertains to all of you, all right? And so ruthlessness is a quality of lacking pity or compassion for others. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, anytime you hear a message on stewardship, this principle is going to come up alongside with it, right alongside with it, and it's called wisdom, okay? Anytime the Bible addresses stewardship, you're going to see a message on wisdom tucked right within it, okay? And so please realize that these two principles go hand in hand, right? They're synonymous with one another. Good stewards are regarded for their wisdom. But there's a truth here that I want to uncover a little bit. There's a fine line between wisdom and ruthlessness, okay? We'd like to think that those two things are miles apart, but the reality is, they're just one degree of separation between them, okay? And let me show you what I mean by that, all right? I'm going to take you to James this morning because he does a much better job of explaining it than I do, okay? And so James, in chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, he says this. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good deeds and his good life." Deeds that are done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But take a look at the part that's underlined here because James realizes something, that you can be wise in God's eyes or you can be wise in your eyes. And if you're wise in your eyes, you are ruthless because something is missing in the wisdom of the world. And it's called compassion. It's called humility. And it looks and sounds like Jesus. Okay? And so, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, right? If you are being a good steward for the wrong reasons. Jesus is always going to look at the intentions of your heart. And so if you're being a good steward for the wrong reasons, you are ruthless. You are engaging in ruthlessness. If you're harboring bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. And James doesn't pull any punches, man. Such wisdom, take a look at his description of that wisdom, right? It doesn't come down from heaven. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. And just in case you didn't realize that those were bad things, it's of the devil, right? He likes to throw that in there too. Because, oh, it's earthly. Well, maybe earthly is not so bad. Oh, it's unspiritual. Well, you know, there are other things that I do in my life. So. It's of the devil, right? It is of the devil, right? And so what James is really trying to get at is he's trying to think about why are you really focused on stewardship? If you've been waiting for a message on stewardship, why is that? Why is it that you've been waiting for that message? Why are you so focused on stewardship when we're trying to talk about generosity? And a lot of times, we're focused on stewardship to benefit ourselves. So I can make my life better than whoever else's life I'm comparing myself to. So I can make my car newer than whoever I'm comparing my current automobile to. So I can make my house bigger than whoever's house I'm comparing it to, right? And James is trying to pick at that, that at the root of stewardship, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, is envy and greed, the opposite of humility in the character of God, okay? And so something I want to play off of that in that thought is this idea, without generosity, stewardship turns into ruthlessness. And again, we'd love to think there's a sliding scale here. It's just one degree. It's just one degree, okay? Because think about it like this. I've been working with a kid about some of his life choices currently right now and where his choices are. And in his mind, my choices aren't all that bad, okay? And so I'm trying to teach him that, okay, so here you are, here's where you want to go, but you made this choice, right? Okay? Just that slight turn, look how far it takes me from the direction I wanted to go. And so what generosity and stewardship are meant to do is if I start to lean heavy into stewardship, generosity brings me back. Okay? It keeps me going in the direction that I'm meant to go with my life. With my family, with my wealth, with my poverty. It teaches me to keep going in the right direction, okay? And so without generosity, stewardship turns into ruthlessness. And I wanted to throw this verse in here. This is from Proverbs. And it reads like this, "He who oppresses the poor." Some versions will say, "Whoever closes your eyes to the poor," okay? We'd like to think oppressing is like pushing people down, like robbing from them, stealing them, mistreating them. No, just closing your eyes and ignoring them to Jesus is bad, right? "He who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth and he who gives gifts to the rich, both are going to come to poverty," right? Due to greed and envy and selfishness, you are going to end up off track. And so what does ruthlessness look like? Ruthlessness in my life looks like any time I make stewardship greater than generosity. Any time, in any moment, that I am elevating stewardship above generosity, I am heading towards ruthlessness. And again, it doesn't seem like this huge degree of change. It's just a slight direction. And what I need to do is I need to keep these things in balance. I got to keep these things. We talk about this. We got to hold these things in tension with one another. Okay? Now, those of you who are leaning towards stewardship and you're ticked off at me, don't worry. I'm going to make the others mad now. Okay? Because I want to talk about reckless generosity. Reckless generosity. Again, if one of these sounds better than the other, they're not. Okay? So what is recklessness? Recklessness is the quality of lacking. Notice how both of those definitions start with the quality of lacking something. The quality of lacking regard for the consequence of one's actions. And again, it's not a huge degree of change. It's just in one moment saying, it's not that big of a deal. And there's my target. And here I am in my walk with God. It was just one degree of change that pulled me in a different direction in life. And so the quality of lacking regard for the consequences of your actions, that's what recklessness is. And why am I talking about this? Well, because when we talk about generosity, we're talking about freedom. Okay? But that's not just a Kirkism, okay? That's a Jesusism. That's a Solomonism, okay? That's in the Bible. That's a Davidism, right? There, you're going to see that principle played out in Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament, where generosity and freedom go hand in hand. But if you know anything about freedom, it's that there is a fine line again. There is a fine line between freedom and recklessness. Because it can't all just be free. There has to be responsibilities. There has to be limits. Otherwise, it's not true freedom. Okay? And I'd love to talk about more of that in a concept called obedience, hopefully later on. Not today. Okay? But let's look at it in Paul, writing this to the church in Galatians. And this is chapter 5, 13. And he's talking about this. This passage is probably familiar if you've ever heard the verse where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom, or it is for freedom that Christ set you free. That's all going to be found around this section of verses. But I wanted to focus on this portion because Paul goes into it a little bit more, because he's talking about freedom, 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 freedom to a lot of people that are experiencing oppression, okay, with old religious rites and laws and stuff like that. But he understands that there's a fine line between all his talk about freedom and the concept of recklessness. And so he tries to bring them back to center by saying this: you, my brothers, were called to be free, but take a look what I underlined here, but do not use your freedom to indulge either your desires. You are also responsible for the desires of others. Okay? Meaning if you know that you are enabling somebody through generosity, that is also not helpful. That is also reckless, okay? But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, use your freedom for what? Freedom to serve. To serve. I'm going to use my freedom to serve. I'm not going to serve me with it, though, okay? That's the American way, okay? I'm going to use it to serve others. I'm not going to waste my freedom, right? Paul's saying that. Don't waste your freedom on somebody else, right? You're free, folks. You're free, brothers. But what are you doing with that freedom? Because that's what really matters, okay? And so here's the idea with this, is that without stewardship, generosity can become very reckless. And it's not a huge degree of change. And so that's why I've got to hold these principles in tension with one another. And so when I feel my generosity and I'm leaning more towards generosity than I am towards stewardship, stewardship brings me back. And when I lean too heavy towards stewardship, generosity brings me back because Jesus is walking right down the center of the road. And there are crowds of people on both sides. And we get to choose if we're going to be on a side of the road or in the middle of the road with him. Right? And that's where we're meant to walk our lives, is right in step, right on his heels, okay? And so you're going to see in Jesus' life where he's going to talk about stewardship, but he's also going to be talking about generosity. And he's going to be talking about generosity, but he's also going to be telling people and teaching people about stewardship. We've got to keep these things in tension, because without stewardship, generosity turns into recklessness, and without generosity, stewardship becomes ruthless at its core. And so I want to take you to this proverb. This is Proverbs 22, verse 7. And I was thinking about this proverb, But I was also thinking about the story in Luke of the prodigal son when I was prepping for this. And it talked about how the son wasted his wealth in wild living, okay? He was being very reckless in that story, okay? And then, but you had one son leaning way heavy into generosity and being reckless, while back home his crabby brother was leaning way heavy into stewardship, and both of them were leading towards destruction. Bitterness and envy over here.
Yep, that's good.
God in his will here. Recklessness and destruction over here, right? Right? And so when we're leaning, we're leaning when we are, okay? And it's important for us to get back to center, whatever it is that's pulling us in the wrong direction. And so what does recklessness look like? Again, it's not this huge overt thing. Recklessness looks like when you elevate generosity over stewardship. Okay? You've got recklessness over here, you've got ruthlessness over here, and we're meant to hold them in tension so that I can follow here. Okay? I've got to keep these principles within tension with one another. And what I see is both deficiencies serve the same master, but it's not God. Right? If I lack stewardship in my pursuit of generosity, if I lack generosity in my pursuit of stewardship, both of those deficiencies are serving the same master. His name is money. But how can you be serving money if you're overly generous? Well, because the borrower is slave to the lender. And so if your acts of generosity are increasing debt, right? Think about, Paul writes about a principle called unequal yokes. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that passage. A lot of times it gets applied to marriages and weddings and relationships, okay? But he talks about this idea of unequal yokes, and what we've got to be careful of in here is that we're not partnering generosity with debt, because that's reckless. But what I got to be careful of over here is that I'm not partnering stewardship with selfishness, because that's ruthless. Right? I've got to hold these principles with intention. Both deficiencies are going to ultimately serve the same master and achieve the same end, okay? Which is poverty. Well, how can you have poverty if you've got lots of stuff? You can have poverty with lots of stuff. People do it every single day, right? And so anyway, both deficiencies are serving the same master. I want to talk about this idea of living with a limp, because if you're favoring generosity or if you're favoring stewardship, you're living with a limp. Back when we did the food giveaway in January, oh my goodness, that's a long time ago. After we got done with the giveaway for that day, the next morning I woke up and man, my left foot hurt, like hurt. But I powered through it, did the week, and it didn't go away. And it didn't go away, and it didn't go away. It got to the point where I thought my tarsal on my left foot, I felt like it was broken. I thought for sure it was. I could not figure it out. And so I don't like going to the doctor ever for anything, okay? How long did I have a stomach parasite after we got back from Mexico, babe? It was like 3 weeks I had a stomach parasite, you guys. But hey, free weight loss. Anyway, sorry, no, I'm kidding. But anyway, yes, I don't like going to the doctor. Moral of the story, Stephen doesn't go to the doctor. And so Trisha's trying to get me to go to the doctor for my foot, and I'm not going to the doctor for my foot. And it got to the point, so it started January 17th. We were on vacation. Like I would do my Tuesdays where I do my Hope for the Hungry, and I walk up and down the street, and I would get home on Tuesday night, and I couldn't even walk on my leg. Like, I'd have to sit on the couch with my shoe off, my foot just throbbing. And so finally, January 17th to the middle of March, in case you didn't pick up on that, okay? Finally, I found out what it was. There was a plantar wart in the bottom of my foot, and it was a quarter inch deep into my foot. Now, if you're not familiar with the depth of skin on the bottom of your foot, a quarter inch is a big deal. Okay? And that bugger was pushing right up into my bone, which was activating a nerve, which is why it made me feel like, but I still didn't go to the doctor. I just removed it on my own. But anyway, I don't know. I'll save you the details of that adventure, okay? But hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, watch me move now, baby. Oh yeah, no pain, no pain, baby. All right, but anyway, what was happening though, the thing that actually got me to go to the doctor is my other foot started to hurt too, because I was favoring my left foot. And because I was favoring my left foot and favoring and limping on that right leg, supporting my weight, suddenly my right foot, and I thought, man, now how am I gonna walk? And I chased 5-year-olds around all day. And I was like, what in the world? And so finally, yes, but favoring one foot was leading to the destruction of the other. And favoring generosity destroys stewardship. And favoring stewardship in your life destroys generosity. They are both going to lead to destruction because they serve the same master and it ain't God, right? And so what do I see here? Okay, so I've got to do something, right? Okay, so if you're here favoring stewardship over generosity, you are living with a limp in your life and your walk with God. You're favoring one thing over the other in two principles that are meant to be held in tension with each other, okay? And so you gotta do something. But here's what we tend to do. Here's what we tend to do. We tend to use our strength to cover up our weakness, don't we? We tend to use, I'm really bad at stewardship, so I'm just gonna keep leaning heavy into generosity. God will bless me. Or, man, I'm really good at stewardship, but I'm really bad at generosity, but I'm just going to really focus on stewardship. But God will bless me, okay? God is not in favor of enabling our deficiencies, okay? He is not. He'd rather expose them and heal them for you rather than allow you to live with them and just get by, right? And so don't use stewardship as a cover-up for a lack of generosity, right? Don't respond to a lack of generosity by doing more stewardship. If you've been here wishing that Kirk would just talk about stewardship because he's talking about generosity and I'm bad at generosity, man, when's he gonna talk about stewardship? Because then I'm gonna say amen and clap, okay? Right? Don't respond to a lack of generosity with more stewardship. It's like trying to create cookies with the wrong ingredients. Like someday I go and make chocolate chip cookies and I don't have any eggs, so I just add more flour, hoping it'll work out. Right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But we do that. We do that. We do that, okay? And then maybe you're not favoring stewardship. Maybe you favor generosity, right? Over stewardship. Well, that's recklessness. One's ruthlessness, the other's recklessness. Both are bad. Both are intended for destruction because both serve the same master and it ain't God. Generosity, if I'm favoring generosity, I got to be careful that I don't use my generosity as a cover up for a lack of stewardship. Because if you've been listening to these sermons on generosity, you're like, yes, 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 preach it. I'm so good at this. Preach it, preach it, preach it. Preach the things that I'm good at. Kirk, preach it. Amen, brother. Great sermon today. That sermon was so good. I felt like you were talking directly to me. Oh, that sermon was for me because it was about me because it's the things that I'm really good at. Amen, brother. Amen. You should preach more sermons on that, Kirk. Nobody here would ever do that, right? No. Right. Don't use your generosity as a cover-up for a lack of stewardship. Don't respond to a lack of stewardship with more generosity. Well, man, God's not blessing me. We just keep going into debt. I know we'll just keep being more generous. We'll be more generous. And is generosity a principle regarding debt? Of course it is. But so is stewardship to get you back in line, back in the path of Jesus, right? And so we gotta not let one try to cover up for the other. Obedience, if I could narrow this down, obedience in one area of your life or your walk with God never accounts for a lack of obedience in another. Never use obedience, well, I'm really good at tithing, but man, I'm bad at swearing. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tithe more. Because I kind of like swearing, right? And I don't want to do away with that, right? Or man, I'm really bad at giving to or caring for the poor, okay? Like and so I don't know what you're going to do. I know. I'm going to serve at a banquet, right? You know, don't use disobedience in one area to account for a lack of obedience in another. Because I had a friend preach on this one time when he was going through the book of 1 Kings. And the Bible is very clear. Partial obedience is 100% disobedience in God's eyes. We don't like that sliding scale. We don't like that rule. Okay? Partial obedience is 100% disobedience in God's eyes, okay? So what does God want then, Stephen, right? What does God want in this? He wants you to be who you were created to be. God is concerned about fullness in your life every single day. That is his directive, his prerogative. All right, God, what are we going to do today? Fullness. Well, didn't we do that? Fullness. But aren't we going to do that? Fullness. Fullness is always in God's directives for you. Every single day that you wake up, he wants you to be the full package deal. And so what does that mean, Stephen? He wants us to balance the tension where generosity and stewardship are held in equality with one another. He doesn't want you limping towards recklessness, and he doesn't want you limping towards ruthlessness. He wants you walking in freedom. Or walking in, better said, obedience, which leads to freedom, okay? And so we got to keep these things equal with another. What I mean by that is your level of generosity must be equivalent to your level of stewardship. You got to stop living with one over the other, or trying to have one over the other, or trying to maintain one without the other, because it doesn't work, because it serves the wrong master, and his name is money. Okay? And so you got to equal these two things out. Your level of generosity has to equal your level of stewardship. They work together within you to bring what I like to call full obedience. Okay? That's what they do. You need to be fully committed to both. And so when Kirk preaches a sermon on stewardship, you got to be willing, even though it hurts a little bit, to say amen, brother, because it's going to pull you back to center. And when he preaches a message on generosity, you got to be willing to say amen, brother, this hurts, but I know that it's what God wants for me, and it's what God wants for my life, and it's what God wants for you, and it's what God wants for your life, okay? And so these things, these concepts, even though they seem opposed to one another, they're actually meant to complement one another, okay? They're meant to enhance one another, not contradict. Stewardship does not contradict generosity. It makes it look how generosity is supposed to look. And generosity doesn't contradict stewardship. It actually makes stewardship look like it's supposed to look, which is Jesus, who's walking down the middle, just waiting for us to get in line again, okay? To follow him, okay? That's what he's looking for, okay? Generosity enhances our sowing. Stewardship enhances our reaping, right? Generosity manages your giving. And stewardship manages your receiving. Stewardship makes room for generosity, and generosity makes room for stewardship. You know what they like to call that? A cycle of planting and harvesting that leads to abundance because it's the path that God has marked out for us, okay? I'm going to hit you with a passage. This is a bugger from Leviticus. This is chapter 26, 3 through 5. And God is speaking here to the Israelites, and Moses is writing, but he says this. He says, if you follow all my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I'm going to send you rain in its seasons, and the ground's going to yield crops and trees of the field their fruit. Look at this part that I underlined. You're threshing when you're walking in obedience without limping in one direction over the other. Your threshing goes until harvest, and your harvest goes until planting. And the cycle continues when we're walking in fullness, okay? The cycle continues, and you will eat food, all the food you want, and live in the safety of your land. What I see here is planting is meant to lead to harvesting, but harvesting is meant to lead to planting. These principles work together in tension with each other, but they're meant to be held in tension so that we can stay in the path marked out for us. Hold on loosely. So what am I trying to get at here? You got to hold on loosely. When I was in track, I used to run long distances, like 800s, miles, and 2 miles, because I was weirdo. And anyway, there was this principle that I had to learn, because when I first started running long distance, I ran all tensed up, okay? Like I was super tight in my upper body, definitely in my hands. And I remember getting some advice from a track clinic, and the guy was talking about a loose grip fist analogy. Okay? And so he wanted me to imagine, Stephen, that you're holding a potato chip in your hand. Okay? And hold that potato chip in your hand when you're running, because if you pinch too hard, guess what's going to happen? It's going to crunch it. But if you hold too loose, what's going to happen? You're going to drop it. Okay? And so this idea of holding on loosely, it's like holding a baby chick, right? You're holding it. You're protecting it. That's stewardship. But you're not crushing it and squeezing it to death. That's generosity. And what I see with these two principles is stewardship allows me to hold. Generosity keeps it loose, though. And these two things work in tension with one another, but they're meant to bring balance and harmony and this principle of fullness in my walk with Jesus, who's standing in the middle of the road just waiting for us. Okay? And so, application time. Think about this idea of generosity and stewardship needing to be held in equality with one another. Which principle of the equation do you feel you're lacking? Which way are you leaning? What's got you limping either towards recklessness or limping towards ruthlessness? Because God wants to address that in you. Because he doesn't want you to keep limping. My wife, who was putting up with me for more than 3 weeks, January to March, oh my goodness. Anyway, who had to watch me hobble upstairs and lay on a couch with my foot up so that I could walk around like nothing was wrong, right? Walking around like nothing's wrong, pretending like nothing's wrong. I would just wish he would get back to talking about stewardship again, all this generosity. Oh, I wish he would stop talking about stewardship and get back to generosity, right? You're limping. Quit limping. God doesn't want you to live with a limp. So which principle of the equation are you lacking? And stop trying to overcompensate for it. Don't use generosity to cover up your lack of stewardship, but please don't use stewardship to cover up for your lack of generosity. Don't respond to the lack of one with more of the other. And this morning, I'd love to encourage you, let God expose it. Let him expose it. What's that thing that's got you limping? Because that's not his path for you, okay? He doesn't want you limping in one direction. He doesn't want you favoring one thing over the other. Let God expose it, and then be obedient as he works within you through Holy Spirit to enhance it. Because if you are really lean and hard towards stewardship, Holy Spirit's going to be pulling at your heart. Let's try this, generosity. Or if you're leaning really hard towards generosity, and we've given you many weeks and lots of ammunition to say, oh yeah, that's right, generosity, that's the way to go, amen. Holy Spirit's going to start pulling at your heart and going, hold on, don't forget about stewardship. Let's get back to center here, folks. Let's get back to center. And so I'm going to pray for you this morning, and I just want you to be open this morning. I want you to be open to what Holy Spirit is revealing in you this morning, because he wants you to be whole and full. He doesn't want to see you limping anymore in one direction. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would start to reveal in all of our lives, mine included, areas where I've been trying to overcompensate, Father. And maybe it isn't generosity and stewardship. Maybe it's another area of my life where I've been trying to cover up sin in one area with obedience in another. But if it is generosity or stewardship, Lord, I pray that you would not only expose where I've been limping to, but Holy Spirit, I give you the control and the authority to work in me and through me to enhance my weakness. This area, this thing, this limp that I've been living with for way too long in my life. And so, Lord, whatever that ends up being in each person's heart today, Father, I pray that you would expose it. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you are faithful to enhance it within us. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.